You're listening to a podcast from 702. 702 Afternoons
with Relebogile Mabotja.
Live,
online,
smartphones,
the 702 app,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7,
and 106 FM.
All right, it is 10 minutes after 1 o'clock. As promised, I am bringing Associate Editor of Politics. Get chief of politics, go EWN. This is very serious. Sidi, my dear. So, Sidi, okay, I know we're laughing, but this is actually a very scary matter. Like, yesterday in my area, we didn't have water. I mean, we didn't have electricity, which affected the water. So people didn't have water and didn't have electricity for 24 hours. We're filling up our tanks and it cost double what it did 2 years ago. We're struggling to buy groceries. It is a scary time. We're already feeling unstable and insecure. And then all of a sudden, calls for the president to be impeached. If there's anything called instability, it's like your parents saying, I might leave you guys tonight. You'll see to finish. So maybe bring us up to speed. How did we get here?
Okay. So let me first start here. A cause for a president to be impeached are not new to South Africans at all.
Yes.
We've been here. In fact, 5 years ago, we were exactly here.
The only president were saying who wasn't...
A president must be impeached.
The only president who was not removed is Tata.
You are very correct.
Absolutely. We're used to this.
So let me help. Yes, we've been here before. But even the term impeachment in and of itself is something that was being used by MPs in Parliament around 5 years ago with former President Jacob Zuma at the time. This particular issue that we are sitting with at the moment is about the Palapala saga with Ramaphosa. Now, Ramaphosa, you must remember, during this time, he's the man who came out saying that I'm a clean guy.
Yes.
I will have a transparent government.
Yes.
It will be anti-corruption. So he sold himself as, again, the ideal person to try to renew the organization, but most importantly, to fix the issues that you've complained about as a citizen, as a resident in this country. And so that's how he comes up. And then suddenly, there are reports, rumors. I know as a journalist, I received the criminal complaint that was lodged by the former head of security, Arthur Fraser, saying this man covered up a crime on his farm. But what's come from that...
Which is pronounced para-para, by the way. Is
it pronounced para-para?
I was schooled. I was schooled the other day. Ke para-para, yes.
We thank you for that. I will now refer to it as para-para.
Yes.
But so the farm saga comes up and different institutions start to investigate. You've got the public protector, specialized policing unit, the Hawks looking into it, the South African Reserve Bank, South African Revenue Services. All these institutions have been investigating it, but those investigations have come to none in that they're still ongoing. We don't know anything. And political parties in parliament then put on a fight to have a Section 89 committee sit and deal with this matter. And that's how we came to having an independent panel looking into this matter with three particular experts led by former Chief Justice Sandy Lungwabo to look at whether or not there is a case to be made, a prima facie case to be made for impeachment against the president of the country.
Yes.
Now, it was meant to have submitted the report a few days, last week, 2 weeks ago, and then it asked for an extension. That extension came to an end yesterday. Last night, then, we all got to see the report and what the experts think, the independent panel thinks. And ultimately, the president has violated the constitution. There's grounds to believe he's violated the constitution. There's a case to be made of misconduct. There's a case to be made about the law, violating the law. And that for me is pretty much in essence how we got here, where this man has taken on an oath to serve the country, the constitution, the citizens of this country, and he's found wanting. And what that could possibly lead into is an impeachment committee that would look at whether or not he should be removed from his position as head of state.
So if then, because I think you've summarized it beautifully to get to where we are.
It's a very long story.
Yes. In that time, what has the president's response been? Because at one point, he was not addressing the media at all, saying, let's let the law take its course. The law's taking its course, right? So if then the law's taken its course, and based on the findings of Section 89 panel, what should that mean? Like, should he be saying, guys, we allowed the law to take its course. These are the findings. I'm going to subject myself to whatever the next process needs to be. Or should he be saying, hey, guys, it looks bad. Juices, bye. I'm resigning.
If you come up on a clean ticket, ne? If you say you're not like your other comrades who are accused of corruption and stealing and, then I think there's only one route for you. There's no other way. You must fall on your sword. That's always been my view of it. You know, I've always maintained that in his silence, in his refusal to give us answers, to clarify what really happened, he continuously undermined the rule of law, one that he made great commitments to upholding. He's also, most importantly, undermined the citizens. I've said it time and memoriam on this very station that I have an issue with those two factors. And that's kind of where we are. We've come full circle where, again, there seems to be something on the table saying, Mr. President, you've put yourself in a position where you are in conflict with the duties and the obligations that you had to hold as a president. And so that's where he stands at the moment. And I think if you are the person who Ramaphosa said he is, you have no other room. And that's kind of the conversations we've been hearing back and forth, is that he is a person who's willing to step down. You must fall on your sword. But Lebogile, that also opens up a door to a flurry of other issues, doesn't it?
No, because this is the fear, ne? You dump your husband, having been with him for how many years have we been with this person? For four years?
Not long. Just four and a bit. Just four and a bit, right? Yeah.
So you know the devil and what you're working with. Now to open the gates to a new person who we don't know, but not only we don't know, coming out of the ANC, the public generally doesn't have much confidence, not just in the individuals, but in the party itself.
So I want you to go back here then, if you make that case. When Ramaphosa was going to come up, when Zuma's being pushed out,
yes,
were you also concerned that somebody that you don't know well is coming into power?
I think at the time, and this is what's different about those circumstances.
Yes,
at the time, the confidence in Zuma was so low that anybody seemed better. So much as the para-para situation is happening, I think there are citizens who are willing to be like, it's not that bad because you're the best thing that we've got.
But they are. I've heard them on the radio station this entire morning. I heard them with Bongani, with Clement.
So the circumstances are different in that while our confidence in you is not that high, it is the highest confidence we have in anyone.
We fear what's around the corner.
It's the highest confidence we have in anyone.
I think that's a reflection of how low the bar is for us as citizens. It's literally that we've been abused by those in government for so long, the elite for so long, that this is what we're going to hold on to.
Yes.
That at least you are not stealing from us. At least we don't feel a particular way. At least that, and that's part of what the PR machinery around Ramaphosa has been able to do, is to sell him really well, that we are so desperate to hold on to some hope that maybe we'll hope up in the future. But even this,
we always believed, this is what I think happened when he came into power, we're like, he doesn't have reason to steal from us because he's rich.
I think that's a terrible, terrible position.
No, it's a terrible position.
And that is what we took.
That was the thing.
That's what they were selling to in the NC, mind you.
Is no, he won't steal from us because he got his own money.
Imagine rich people who have ethics and morality. But anyway, so the point I'm trying to make very quickly is, at this point in time, as we speak, Lebogile, there is an expectation that he'll make an announcement at some point. His spokesperson, Vincent Mangwenya, was speaking to Mandy a short while ago, saying that they'll have a better idea about when he'll be speaking to us a little bit later on, in a few, actually.
So it could be in this show, it could be in John Perlman's show. We don't know. We're just
standing
by.
But it's going to be happening. That's what I know. Yes. My predictions, as somebody who follows the ANC and who speaks to insiders, including those in his core, who are in a meeting until about 3, 4 a.m., who I understand are back in a meeting as we speak, is that this particular individual might want to speak just before an NEC meeting. There is an ANC-NEC meeting. Now, the NEC of the ANC is called the National Executive Committee. It is the highest decision-making body in between conferences. So the powers of the NEC will be dissolved in 2 weeks' time because they actually go to a conference just around the corner. But what is going to happen in between then and now is that the NEC has the powers to recall him. The NEC recalled Zuma. And NEC recalled former President Thabo Mbeki. I always make an argument that the ANC suffers from an AB, you know, anything but, and anything but Mbeki, anything but Zuma, anything but Cyril is where they are at the moment. So I do think that they are preempting the NEC. The last time around, the NEC said they preempted the Palapala Parapara would come up. And what they did at the time is he then, in his opening remarks, in his political overview, which is the first order of business, he spoke about Parapara. Today, they know that there's an NEC. The likelihood is that there'll be blood on the floor around this particular issue. So to preempt it, my belief is that he will speak before going into that NEC. Does he then say, South Africa, thank you so much, I failed, I'm out? Or does he then say, let's wait for processes? It's kind of where we are stuck.
Are you guys like doing a bet in Eyewitness News upstairs?
I should do a bet because, you know, whatever I think might happen, I might win.
Yeah.
We should actually take a bet on
it. So a part of me feels like he won't resign. And the reason being, because even if there's a slight chance that he can come through this and get through to conference so that there's a chance that he's bowing out a little bit better than right now. I think, because obviously he's probably surrounded by a massive legal team that's like, these are the whole.
But it's got him here. They did not see these gaps. I would have made an argument from the very beginning that he should have not said A, B, C, D, E when Arthur Fraser first laid that criminal complaint. Anybody who studies politics would say, that's a gap, that's a mistake. It's very easy to see where the strategic mistakes are when you're watching politicians from afar. I know this is a very, I imagine it's a very different feeling when you're inside it. But for me, we can't hold on, and it's a difficult space, right? Mm. Because you speak about, you know, better the devil you know, but you can't hold on to that as what is hope. In fact, if the country recognizes that it has an unhealthy relationship with the ANC, at some point, right, you must be willing to allow for something to break that relationship. And if it is a president who falls on his sword because you said this is who you are, because morally, ethically, these are big question marks. Mm. You know, so, you said one thing and you did another.
Who are our backups within the ANC? It's Didi. Didi Mabuza, so Deputy President.
Deputy President, Didi
right?
Mabuza.
There's talk of Kgalema being brought in,
okay.
Which I'm assuming, I mean, somebody will have to at some point explain how that is allowed to happen,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Who's the third ANC candidate?
Possibility. Paul Mashatile's name keeps coming up, but it's also a long shot because Didi does exist. You must remember, the way the system operates in the country is that we vote for parties to be in power. We don't vote for individuals.
Yes.
So the ANC
can decide
that, one, it can decide to recall Cyril Ramaphosa, but again, I said he's preempting that. Those calls for him to step down, he's going to work against that, and that's what this announcement might speak to, right? Secondly, the ANC can then say, he can even say to the ANC, I will resign as head of state and remain ANC president. I've got a few weeks remaining in office. Mm. And they can make a proposal on the table and say, hey, Kgalema Motlanthe can maybe be a caretaker president. He's been one before. This time around, Lebogile, he doesn't need to be an MP. Remember, when you are elected into positions of power.
Is Kgalema not tired? Like, no offense.
Kalema's busy helping the ANC now. In fact, the argument that those who are around Cyril Ramaphosa are making about Kgalema is about stability.
Why didn't
it
you
is
mention,
about the country's stability.
Why didn't you mention Zuma because he lifted his hand and said, guys, I'm ready.
Would
to
you
say,
be happier if
no,
they put that name forward?
I'm
asking.
No, wait, I'm not saying I would be happy.
No,
or
but
not
I want
be
you
happy.
To think about it as a South African, as a human being. Like, at this point in time, with the president who has allegations hovering over his head, who's never also accounted for anything, would you be happy if that's what this party offers you?
So my question is it possible that the ANC could call him back? Because if
Zuma or Kgalema, anybody,
Zuma.
Anything is possible, but here's what you need to understand. In the ANC, it'll be her face.
Why are you laughing?
Her face is finished.
No, because
me. Because it's a majority rules approach,
yes.
Right? That's why we always speak about factions in the governing party, winning the argument of the day, the balance of forces in a party. So if the name is Zuma,
yes.
And Zuma's allies are filling that room of 86 plus NEC members. Oh, then you see Jacob Zuma being brought back then. That's what you want. If the name is Kgalema Motlanthe and the room is still favorable to Ramaphosa and that's who he wants, then you will likely to see a Kgalema Motlanthe come up. Remember, the person who serves as president does not necessarily need to be an MP because once the elections are done, and you'll see in 2024, the person who's elected president in the House does give up his seats, is no longer an MP in that sense.
I got you.
So those things are possible. Didi Mabuza seems like the easy choice if Ramaphosa has gone because that's the deputy.
Yes.
But you know, the ANC's constitution has an interesting clause that speaks about how if it's not the president or his deputy, there is room for the secretary general to then play that position. That's Paul Mashatile, who accidentally found himself as head of the engine of the organization. It's convoluted, no? Look
okay,
at your face.
You
yeah.
and I could literally talk about this for hours. So before you go, which
yes.
I'm going to open the line to all of the listeners, 011-883-0702, 072-702-1702. If you could nominate one person,
ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
Non-politician,
ooh.
Non-governmental, so they could be from private sector. Maybe it is even some community leader in your community. Mm. Who and why?
Can I not animate, like, because that is my imagination, right?
Do you want to do a fictional character?
Yeah,
no,
I want to.
Okay, fictional character, go ahead.
Because also I'm apolitical, I'm a political journalist. I would really like somebody with Po's values. You know Po from Kung Fu Panda? Everybody likes to laugh at me, but Kung Fu Po is kind to everybody,
yes,
is
po.
Fair, is upright.
But
that's what we deserve, a leader
easily,
who's upright and
wouldn't
decisive.
Wouldn't Po easily be walked over?
No, because that's a mistake people make in the assessment of Poe. You don't understand the depth of that character. You must go watch it again. Then you'll understand why I think they're actual proper leadership qualities. He also learns on the job. Trial and error. However, he never quits on the job. And his desire to do good doesn't fade.
What about a famous actor or musician? I mean, in the US, they've had a... actor
yes,
become
they have,
president.
They have, they
is
have.
There somebody that you're like actually?
Yeah,
I think,
who's conscious enough to yes. be in leadership? I think we it's such an interesting question. I often look at the musicians we have, and I always ask myself who is in touch with who and where we are as a people, and yes. brings that into their music as opposed to just lifestyle. And I find that people like Thandi Swamazwari speak to who we are as a people.
I
so
like.
For me, I'm looking at King Tut.
Okay, King Taz, your
and
nomination.
Women all the way.
Women all the way. All right, we're taking your calls, 011-883-0702. Who do you nominate as your president? As we said, if we do see that the president is standing by to speak, we will cross to him. Tidi Madia gave the whole explanation. Please know, if you have questions, so do I, but I cannot keep her here longer than what I have had her, because she needs to go and get the scoop for us, keep us updated. If there are breaking news, EWN will come and bring them through to you. And of course, we'll have headlines at 1:30, and at 2 o'clock, we'll probably get a more detailed update. But for now, the lines are open to you. Who are you nominating to be the president? And do you have any feelings around the fact that at any moment, President Cyril Ramaphosa will come and address the nation? Is your vote that he will step down and resign and leave honorably, if that is leaving honorably? Or do you think he will wait to see what will happen in the process? 011-883-0702.
702 Afternoons
with Relebogile Mabotja.
A message on the WhatsApp line says, I agree, better the devil we know than the devil we don't. Guys, why should we even have a devil? Can we start there? Like, I'm like, our standards are really low. CD is correct that our standards have been low. Let's stop looking for devils that we know. Can we find angels that we know that are going to serve us? Like, I am freaking out on the inside just about what is going to happen to us, because those that are going to suffer the most are the ones that are in the majority. They're going to suffer the most. Let's go to Carol in Morningside. Carol, you have somebody to nominate.
I would like to nominate Vusi Thembekwayo.
Why would you like to nominate Vusi Thembekwayo?
Thembekwayo, yeah.
Yes, why and him?
Because he's got some, he's young, just to start off with. And he's very creative.
Mm.
And he might just sort out the whole thing at Eskom. You know?
Yes.
Like, he will run it like a business to become more profitable.
Yes.
And any other kind.
But wait, let me ask you a question, Carol. Do you remember the time he was being accused of wearing a fake watch?
But a fake watch? Come on, guys.
No. I'm just asking. Do you remember that story?
No, I actually didn't hear about that.
So long story short, it's some very, very expensive watch that he has posted, and somebody came and accused him of wearing a fake watch, ne? So if, let's say, it was confirmed it's true, he was wearing a fake watch, would you want our president to be wearing fake watches and posting them on Instagram?
Honestly, that is such a small thing, to be honest, with the challenges that he's facing in South Africa. All I want, like, why I'm saying Vusi Thembekwayo is because of his brain and the way he sees businesses, and he can see opportunities for the country. Is somebody that he can also interact with the other governments internationally and so forth, and then create investment for the country, especially in the current situation. We need somebody like that.
All right.
That's my honest opinion.
Thank you so much, Carol, in Morningside. Let's go to Linda in Bromfisher. Linda, who do you nominate to be president?
How are you, Kilibo?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
Thank you, miss. I can nominate DJ Sbu.
Why DJ Sbu?
Your voice,
your life.
Your afternoon radio
on 702 Afternoons
with Relebogile Mabotja.
It's 23 minutes to 2 o'clock. We are standing by to hear from the president, Cyril Ramaphosa. No time has been announced. It could happen during this show. It could happen during John Perlman's show, 702 Drive, or even later. Tidi Madia, who is the head of politics with EWN, the associate editor of politics, has given us a solid breakdown. But we're going to take a break from that part of the conversation to say, okay, let's say this man does step aside or step down or gets impeached. Who are you nominating? A non-political person that you think could step in right now and solve the country's problems. Somebody who would take us as the public and the citizens into their confidence. And that we know for a fact when we pay our taxes, Hashem, that money will be used wisely and nicely. 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Let's go to Mohammed in Johannesburg. Hi, Mohammed. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Good, thanks. My nomination would be Imtiaz Solomon from The Gift of the Giver.
Oh, what a man. What
and
a man.
He's got a proven track record. He's non-aligned, and he will lead the country.
And there was a time when, I can't remember where one of the international, one of the Western countries were offering to donate money for the KZN fires or something like that. And everybody was saying, please don't give that money to our government. Give it to Imtiaz Suleiman because he and Gift of the Givers are the only ones that will be able to distribute that money well. Very good nomination, Imtiaz Suleiman, coming through from Mohammed. Let's go to Mary in Randburg. Mary, who are you nominating?
I'm nominating Mr. Patrice Motsepe, but not with the ANC. He has to start his own political party. I'm looking at the trends internationally and on the continent. Businessmen, let me say, business people are taking over, their countries are progressing. I think that's what we need.
Are you?
But as a caretaker, President Mr. Halima Mutante would be the good person to take us through to where Mr. Patrick Motsepe would take over.
All right, thank you very much, Mary N. Randburg, who is saying Mr. Patrice Motsepe, but not via the ANC. Pinky in Soweto, who are you nominating?
Adrian Gore.
Adrian Gore, the chief executive officer.
Yeah, he's a visionary. He's also a very, very successful person who's very patriotic. He will take up the economy and revive it in a minute. And they bring structure and stability. And then I also nominate Musima Vuso.
I didn't get your second nomination?
Busisiwe Mavuso.
Busisiwe Mavuso.
I think she's on business leadership, something. Like, yeah. That lady was a escort board. No nonsense. And she won't take, she won't let anyone dance on her head. These are the people who love South Africa. My last one, Dr. Suleiman and Bonang Mohad.
Okay. Pinky's got many nominations, but her first one, the CEO of Discovery, that is Adrian Gore. Let's go through to Teboho in Cliptown. Teboho, who are you nominating?
Two people. Former Chief Justice Mokoeng Mokoeng and the former public protector Tulima Tonten. I will take bullets.
For them.
And I'll tell you, Tate Mokoeng Mokoeng, I don't believe even his own children in the house will misbehave. Because you can tell this man is law and character.
And integrity.
She can step no foot wrong, guys. And she has the best interest of this country at heart. So I will nominate those two.
And all right. And you will vote for them.
Yes. And I think if the ANC wanted to save this country, they should have gone to those people, knocked at their doors and said, guys, come save the country.
How do you know they didn't? And maybe they said definitely not. It's like Oprah Winfrey. They've been asking for her to run for president, and she said she'll never do it because once the politics are involved, she can't achieve the many things that she's achieving, not being a politician.
Look, there's one thing that Mokoeng Mokoeng has said before, is we must have a constituency state, Antoine. Mam Thuli has said something in her case as well. In order for this country to survive, the ANC must die. And those two statements from those two individuals, for me, speak to their character. You understand? Mm. They are not putting party and stomach politics before the interest of the people. Give me a good pick down. And if I can tell you how dire the situation is, crime is rife, joblessness for the youth is crazy. Mm. You get to see even the drug prevalence in this community.
Look, Tebogo, I think you've offered some strong names, and we are continuing with all of your calls. I'm going to do my best to get through everybody. So let's go to Margaret in Hillbrow. Margaret, who do you nominate?
Hello.
Get there, no guy.
I couldn't agree more with Mohammed. This guy, the Suleiman, gift of the gifts, this one.
MTS Suleiman.
Yes, of course. I always wanted to phone. Sometimes you guys, you don't take my phone.
Ask his Margaret. Wait to show your runner. He busy. Hey.
Why the king? I'll tell you, I love you so much.
You know? Margaret in Hillbrow, thank you so much. Is it Basquiat or Basket?
How are you doing?
Good, thanks, and you?
I'm very well, Rilebukhile. I would like to nominate myself.
Mm, give us your motivation. Why should we vote for you?
Well, first of all, I'm an architect by profession,
mm-hmm.
which means that I'm a visionary.
Mm.
You know, and I would like to replan the city, the country, on a national scale. And people first. Our company is based on humans. It's a human-centered architectural firm.
Yes.
So we do things for people. And I believe that in life, everything that we do, everything that we produce is for humans.
Mm. You know.
So therefore, we've got to put people first and not ourselves. So I'm a selfless human being as well. And and that's that.
Can I ask you, are you married? Just out of interest sake.
That's a very personal question.
Well, if you are coming forward for president, we need to know if Khona le first lady.
I'm not married.
Okay.
And
okay.
I don't think marriage has got to do anything with running the country.
But no, it doesn't have anything to do with running the country. But interestingly enough, if you look at all world leaders, there's probably 1 or 2% that are single. So I was just asking out of interest sake. Thank you so much to Basquiat for nominating himself. Abdul in Randburg, who are you nominating?
I've got three. Number one, Imtiaz Suleiman, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Tuli Madonsela.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, I think Jacques Celliers from FNB.
Jacques Celliers.
Yeah, he can turn the economy around, I think, overnight. If you look what he's done with FNB, just give that guy a call.
Don't you feel like though some of the FNB customers who are unhappy and left might not vote?
Which FNB customers? I'm a FNB customer.
Listen, I'm also their customer, and I've also had issues. I just haven't left because I'm loyal. But I'm just saying, you know, people are loyal to their banks. Do you not think if they see a CEO, they'll be like, no, not this guy?
No, I think his talent and his leadership and his view on economics and strategy it transcends the bank only.
Mm.
So I think, you know, he can do some things, put some things in place which can, I think, turn around this country. You need a strong leader who can get things done.
I got you, Abdul in Randburg. Let's quickly go to your voice notes.
I think the suggestion about Imtiaz Suleiman running a country is a bit of it's far-fetched. He may be too honest for our circumstance. Faisal from Houghton.
Hi, it's Desmond here. I would think Tuli Madonsela with her own party, combination with her and some good people at Musi, should do both. Thank you.
Yo, interesting. So many messages.
Hey, good afternoon, Rebel. My preference would be Tuli Madonsela or advocate Vusi Pikoli.
Hi, Ausirile Bugile. It's Tabankoma here at Daveyton. I would like to nominate 702. You'll see how you take position. Otherwise, I know South Africa will be in good hands. South Africa will change for good. Thank you.
Hi, Lebo. Good afternoon to you. This is Joy from Wadville in Benoni. you know, I would nominate Reverend Chris Matebula to be the president. That's how I feel it. Thank you for the lovely show. Sharp.
Hi, Relebogile. I nominate Trevor Noah. Very intelligent, young, full of life. And I think very observant. And yeah, for me, he'll make it. Thanks.
Hey, Relebogile. If I was to nominate someone, I would definitely nominate Ntate Bona Mohale. I know that he's someone who doesn't like politics. He doesn't want to go into politics, but I would definitely nominate him. He's someone who's smart, who's intelligent, well-educated, and he knows what he's talking about. And you can really tell that he really loves this country, that he really wants what's best for this country. So that's my choice.
Good afternoon, Relebogile. My name is Carol. I think my vote would go to Mr. Bonang Mohale. I think that is one person who understands the principles of leadership and ethical morals much better than anybody else. I think politics would not be the way that he would manage people and the country. And he understands the economy. And I think that would be one person that would be able to get us out of the mess that we are in at the moment. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. And some of your messages, another name, Johan Rupert, has been put through. Imtiaz Suleiman again. One says, Ridi Khabi for president from Al Sabi. Another person says, Soli in Deep Kloof. Skill and knowledge should determine if a person can lead. And so many of your nominations that have come through just in terms of who it is that should step in the role of president. And still, I will see if there's gaps. So many of you also saying, Madonsela, more of you saying Gift of the Givers and Imtiaz Suleiman. But something very interesting, and thank you Gladys Mutele for sharing this. Imtiaz Suleiman actually once did appear on a ballot paper in the 1994 elections representing the Africa Muslim Party. He had some sort of encounter with someone who told him his purpose is to serve people in a different way, and Gift of the Givers was far from his imagination back then, and it is quite a fascinating story. So that's interesting about Imtiaz Suleiman, who got the most votes.
You can have one or the other. It's not something we at RMB believe. So when faced with a conundrum like environment or investment, we say, why not both? Whenever we ask ourselves what the best way is to help our clients thrive, traditional values or innovative ideas, the answer always is